on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Greetings. Welcome to Ever Beyond. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
And 775.
That's not... I just cut it. I was almost smooth there. I was almost like a proper professional DJ, but then the next tune came along all dramatically. Anyway, good evening and welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Yes, indeed. Tonight, I have a lovely guest. We have been just chatting for a little bit here, and I'm sure this is going to be a very exciting conversation. It's news, it's information, it's sharing. It's a lovely idea, and we'll see what happens in the future with this, as to see how this develops. And you'll understand what I'm saying once we've had this conversation. So, with little introduction. Because we're going to give it to you in a minute. I'd like to welcome on the show Sienna Dearheart. Hello, Sienna. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very, very good. It's quite nice. It's dark now here in Britain. It's 11 o'clock, and the moon might come up with a little slither of itself in a few hours. So here we are. We've got... you have an event coming up, but before we start talking about the event, would you share with the audience a little bit about yourself?
Well, I would say that we've been on this journey of figuring out who we are and why we're here for probably 27 years, and I would say that it started with a Christ consciousness awakening. You know, I was guided by, you know, probably folks 20 years my senior that were really hot and heavy into the whole EST movement and, you know, the brutalization of truth and all of that. So, and now that we've gotten through the mire and the backlash of all of that, you know, we're in a much more loving space. And, you know, the flow of the Aquarian Age, you know, is upon us. And so all of these awakenings can be loving and gentle and not so brutal as they once were.
Yes, well, we have to find the truth. And the truth, as we've discovered, yeah, as you're saying, is often not particularly rosy, not particularly pleasant. We need to extricate ourselves from the situations that we discover ourselves in, having discovered the truth. Isn't that right?
Well, we do. Yes. Yeah. So, but at the same time, we can shift the consciousness of those situations if we choose to.
Of course, of course. And that's one of the reasons why it's good to find out the truth. Because until you know what it is that is ailing you, you know, until you discover that there's a thorn in your leg, you wonder why your leg's hurting.
Yes.
So, yeah, we have to look down and pull it out. So, meanwhile, back off the metaphor. You've been... So, tell me about EST, because that's something that happened... I mean, it's known about in sort of various New Age circles that have been going around for a while. I mean, I've heard of EST, but what is it?
Well, I actually personally didn't resonate with EST, so that's not something that I did, but I did some other programs. But, you know, the paradigm is that there are levels of consciousness. levels of awareness, you know, victim consciousness being the very bottom of the bucket. And then as you move higher and higher into your awakening of your own consciousness, then you move away from emotionality and drama, and you move away from judgment, and you stay in the moment, and you're living in the moment, and you're active in your heart, in the now. And so that's the journey, that's the staircase. You know, the way that Est went about it was to brutalize the body, to put you in a room for 12 hours at a time, and, you know, make you keep strict agreements, and just a lot of discipline. And not a lot of love, not a lot of warmth, not a lot of forgiveness. But, you know, like I said, I didn't sit in the rooms of Est. I went through other programs that were created at the same time but were a little bit more loving. You know, but it's experiential. So, you know, you're in a room with other people and you've all come together with a common directive, which is, you know, who am I, what am I, you know, what is my purpose, help me remove the blocks that are keeping me from discovering these things, you know, that are keeping me looping, you know, in these creations over and over again. And so you have this collective of people that come in, and in these small groups, you break into these small groups, and they've created these arenas and these experiences. They're predetermined experiences and with basically predetermined results. And, you know, you're going to fall into certain categories. And so there are facilitators that facilitate these processes. And so you get very tight with the people in your little group, and you go through these experiences. And if you're lucky, you have a series of breakthroughs over a course of a weekend.
Aha. Uh-huh.
You will come out. Yeah, if you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
Right. And I have had those experiences. I mean, I was fortunate enough to come in with the courage of the heart, you know, that's necessary for these events. You know, so many of us are attached to being right and blameless, and you know, and that sort of translates into being a victim. And so coming from a victim or a need to be right and blameless, you're just not going to get very far.
Aha. So that's very interesting. And you were so this is the kind of environment that you've kind of come through.
Yes, for many years.
A sort of self-examination and getting down to the truth and nitty-gritty of what is and what isn't. And
27 years.
Mm-hmm. So, at this point, nothing can happen that would shock you.
No. No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, I'll tell you the other piece of it is that, you know, I'm sure that everyone is aware of, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, that's everywhere. And there are some pretty arduous 12 steps if you're willing to take them. And that's also been a large part of my journey. So you take these experiential workshops and you take the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, which means, you know, clean and sober living as well. And then you take, you know, from the age of 3 being born clairvoyant, psychic, you know, and you throw that into the mix. And then, you know, just a dash of Buddhism for some spiritual discipline. You know, these past 27 years have been quite the journey.
I bet. So, yeah, I mean, it's very interesting. I mean, it's a conversation that's been going on today about, you know, basically not being thrown into an emotional reaction by things that go on around you, by things that happen to your friends or gossip that you might hear and all of this stuff, and being able to maintain a unity perspective.
Well, you know, that takes a very specific ingredient. You know, first of all, we have to have a clear heart. Mm. If our hearts are not pure and our minds are not clear, then we even though we're sovereign beings, we really are not, because we become ruled by these grids that we've created, you know, by our emotions. And we really have no choice. It's a knee-jerk reaction to the world. And so unless we've done the work, you know, we're going to just keep looping. You know, and it's easy to say, don't be controlled by your emotions. But if you haven't done the work, you're going to fail.
Done the work. Yeah, and
yeah, right. Yes, exactly. And it is work. It is work. Mm. You know, the willingness to be self-honest. You know, self-honesty is the first step. I mean, it's the first doorway, you know, through the labyrinth that we call self-actualization. And, you know, if you're in a place in your life when you're not willing to be honest with yourself and honest with others, and I don't mean you have to go shout out to the rooftops, but just people that care about you and people that want to help you on your journey. If you can't be honest, you're not going to get past the first doorway.
Hmm. So, that has brought you to Asheville. Have you come from Asheville?
Well, no. Well, actually, in truth, I was born in North Carolina, but I grew up in the Northeast, and I was actually living in San Francisco, and in my late 30s, I had a 5-year-old daughter. I was a single parent, and I was in Sedona, Arizona, which is one of our spiritual meccas in the States. And I was there. I didn't know anything about it. And I heard this voice. And as I said, I've been clairvoyant and telepathic ever since I was about 3. And I heard this voice. And the voice said, go climb this mountain. I was on a tour bus. And this voice said, go climb this mountain. You know, your friends are going to go this way, but you go this way. And I did it. And I looked down. Seriously, Jeremy, and I could see the sacred geometry, the grid of, like, you know, where the ships would come down and, like, lock in, and this is what I heard. But I heard it times 10.
Oh, like a kind of big locking in sound.
Yes.
Oh, man.
So maybe 10 ships came in, you know.
All right.
And I was standing there, and I was like, whoa, you know, I could hear them, but I couldn't see them. And they said, you know, you were here 10,000 years ago. The time is now. We're calling you now. You were here. You agreed. It is time for you to go back east. You will be married. You will have 2 sons. You will create a community.
All right.
You know, that was it. And so my family happened to have a house here in Asheville, and I came kicking and screaming. I've been here 15 years. This is very different from California, needless to say. Mm. You know, this is the hotbed of Christianity. It's the hotbed of racism.
Mm-hmm.
Homophobia.
Yeah.
The strip mining, fracking, you know, just...
It sounds like abuse on every level.
Abuse on every level. There's no question, brother. And, you know, this is where we are. And the density here, you know, I mean, I spent many, many days of my first years here just crying and saying, you know, God, why? You know, why? What am I doing here? I don't belong here. It's a brick wall here. I don't see what you think I'm going to be able to accomplish at all. And now, you know, 15 years later, creating this conference, pulling this conference together really in just 2 months. It's been amazing. And people are just coming. They just come and they call and they show up. And I'm sort of blown away by all the really amazing and beautiful people that are here. But I will say that Asheville, for all that we claim to be, you know, and there's a lot of claims out there, it's not a community. There are pockets of people that are amazing, you know, light workers, amazing grid workers. But it's not a community. You know, we're not a web.
Yeah.
We're not coming together as a web and creating this network that I feel is really important all over the world, that we should be doing it all over the world, creating this network and getting to know each other and knowing who each other is, because it's when we resonate collectively, when those of us who are awake, when those of us who have done the work come together in community and resonate together with all of the different instruments that we bring, you know, we create a symphony, you know. And right now, you know, there's this quartet and that quartet and this duet, but we're not a symphony yet. And I think that's what our brothers and sisters of the stars are waiting for.
Yeah, I'd say so. It sounds very much like the early days of the Findhorn community. I live up in the north of Scotland, near the Findhorn Intentional Community.
Well, how fortunate you are.
And it's very much like the story of how that started to happen. I also used to live in Glastonbury in England, and that's the place that it's a vortex. It's been known about for thousands of years and been held as a vortex for thousands of years. So that's a kind of well-established one. But there are communities there and in places all over the world, especially near these portals.
And Asheville is a portal.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't have so much abuse there if it wasn't, you see.
Right. And it is. And, you know, there. Well, I'll tell you, because there's a sun disk here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a Tibetan peace base that was buried here. So, and that was prophesied many thousands of years ago. So, you know, it is a vortex. It is the center. And, you know, I don't know if you're ready for this, but we are, so we'll say it. You know, this whole I am consciousness, you know, it's of the Piscean age, you know. It's time to take a look at what's happened to it and how it's been hijacked and distorted.
Mm.
And, you know, that this is now the Aquarian age, and we're moving into the we are consciousness.
Yes.
And, you know, this area is so full of the I am consciousness, and any time we speak of it at all, you know, the resistance to even recognizing that this idea of I could be a problem, you know, could be part of the separation that continues to manifest in even the grid worker and the light worker community. That any one person is going to ascend on their own, you know, and the community speaks of this. Well, I'm going in the first wave, I'm going in the second wave, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. And brothers and sisters, we're here to tell you, we're going together.
Yeah, and also, you know, anybody who thinks they're going first, they're going to be, you know, if they're working, if they're doing, they're going to be helping other people, so they're going to be going last.
Exactly, and I can tell you that Santa will be last. And you know, I love that you say this because, you know, you hear this, I've heard this term called SOS and SO and SO, SS and SO, service to self and service to others.
Oh, right, yeah. STS, yeah.
Yeah, okay, there you go, brother. See, that's a new concept for me because this sister here has always been about service to others. Mm. And the idea that you could put service and self in the same sentence is foreign to me. And yet, the more I'm around these folks, I hear it. Well, this is my journey. You know, this is my story. This is my truth. This is, you know, really. So it's our journey. It's our story. It's our truth. You know, it's our ascension. You know, and that speaks also of the karma. You know, people say, oh, well, that's your karma. Oh, I didn't do that. Oh, I wasn't here 300 years ago. I didn't enslave you. Really? Are you so sure about that?
Yeah.
Because you may be a reincarnation of that very general that slaved, you know,
yeah,
10,000 Native Americans. It's like, how can you hold that reincarnation is a truth on one hand, and then you're not responsible for the karma that was created 300 years ago on the other hand.
Mm.
So we are responsible because we were here in one fashion or another. We are here now, and we were here then, and we were creating karma then, just like we're creating it now. And if we're here now, it's because we didn't clean it up then.
That's right.
So, you know, this is one of the problems we face, you know, on the East Coast, because there's the Euro-Indian issues that are deep and thick, and then there's the African-American issues that are deep and thick.
Mm.
And, you know, people say, oh, well, I didn't do it. You know, that wasn't me. That was my ancestors. Well, you are your ancestors, but we're all one anyway. And if we don't all come together and choose to clear this, we're just going to have to come back again.
Absolutely. But this is the time. I mean, right now, we are in a cycle of opportunity to end karma very quickly, from what I can understand.
And what I've been told is only 51% of us have to be in resonance.
Yeah.
So 51%, Jeremy, that's all.
Yeah.
That's all we need is 51%.
Probably even less, you know, on a more, more people on the grid lines, grid points, who are of that. You know, it takes, you know, I'm saying it might be 51% of people who are near a grid point. Do you see what I mean? Because they would have a stronger weight towards clearing that.
Well, what you're saying, Jeremy, yeah. it has more to do with sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
And so 51% of us have to choose it.
Right.
So it's not so much about the grid points as it is the individual consciousness. You know, everyone has a choice. And 51% of us it's required that 51% of us choose.
Hmm.
So we do need 51% of us.
Right.
You know, we do. And what you're speaking of, brother, is that if there's enough of us at the grid point, then we can wake up the others.
Yeah.
So it can take very few of us to wake up very many.
Yeah.
And so in that way, it's very important to be at the grid point.
Hmm.
Yes.
Yes. So, and this is, so we're coming up now to the autumn equinox, or you call it the fall. I was going to find it very funny, the fall. Yes. Actually, I went to America during the fall, and that's what happens. You know, it's in Britain, right? The autumn is like, it's a whole season. There's like 2 or 3 months where the leaves turn brown and then golden and then fall off gently in the wind. And I was in America in like 3 days it took, and all the leaves went whoosh, off the trees. It was like a cartoon. I was unbelievable. Wow, that's what they mean by the fall. Everything falls. It was crazy.
I never thought of it. That's funny.
Mm.
Yeah, it's true. Now, we do have evergreens, but yeah.
Yeah,
all the deciduous trees,
yeah.
You know.
Oh.
and it's really funny because, you know, we have so many people that wait for just that moment when the color is just right. But you can miss it, and you can wake up the next day, and they'll all be on the ground.
Yeah, well, come to Britain, September. You get plenty of rain. Yeah, bring your raincoats. You can tell Americans they're all wearing the same color Mac. I don't know why they all wear the same color raincoat. Anyway.
Now, let me ask you something.
Ask me.
Now, William Wallace, how far was he from you?
I'm not entirely sure about that part of the Scottish history, to be honest. I'm actually English. I live in Scotland.
Oh, you live in Scotland?
Yeah, I grew up in London, in England.
I ask you because my direct bloodline is to William Wallace.
Uh-huh.
And then on the other side, my direct bloodline is to Henry I.
All right.
So I have the war within my blood. And I was doing a ceremony one time, and the guides came in and said that you're here. Their message was, you're here to clear the karma of your bloodline.
Mm.
And so when you think of all the battles of William Wallace, and you think of all the battles of the English monarch, you know, that's a lot of karma.
That's a lot of karma for one girl.
That's a lot of karma, brother. That's right.
You know. Bless your heart. So this is very interesting. So you've been working on like a bloodline karma as well as like personal lineage.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how do you, well, how can you even start that? You know,
well, if you find your lineage, if you go back and really find where your bloodline comes from, you know, history will tell you the rest. You know, what's really funny is on my father's mother's side, Sir Thomas More, you know, Utopia.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about that, and then I think about this vision that we have for Bioconscious Universe. You know, Donna and I are working on this, you know, Bioconscious Universe. And it's, you know, this community, you know, much like Fintorn, you say. Yes, much like Fintorn. But, you know, and then I think, well, is that in the bloodline too? Because here was Sir Thomas More, you know, writing about Utopia. much in the same way. So, you know, do we carry this also? You know, is this one of our codes? Is this one of our DNA codes?
I think it's all from Atlantis. You know, Utopia was Atlantis. But I think there's, you know, we can do like Atlantis 2.0 without the cruelty, without the weird stuff, you know. Just having a nice place where we can hang out and instead of being in a place of pain and struggle, that we learn to live and fulfill all those marvelous things that we're supposed to be able to fulfill, were it not for the fact that we're being oppressed by draconians all the time.
Well, but that's us, brother. You know, what they say, you know, what they've said over and over to Sienna is that, you know, we know. I mean, your purpose is to live in unity and harmony and love with one another.
Mm.
And we're so confused that it's not happening, because what they say is that if we emanate love, you know, if we've got this egg around us, okay, if we have this auric field, you know, some people say it's an egg, a square, a cube, whatever,
mm-hmm.
a Merkaba star, whatever it is, you know, let's not argue the details.
Yep.
But if we hold in our auric field, if we extend our love vibration to our auric field on all the way around us, we're not going to be hijacked by anybody, brother. Not Draconian, not Greys, not anyone. Not the Illuminati, not anyone. So we, if you know, you talk about the work, if we are willing to clear our minds, purify our hearts, drop judgment, drop agendas, and just live in the love that we are, you know, just live in that love, then no one can affect our sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, we've got to choose that. We've got to choose to do this work.
Mm.
And if we don't choose it, then we are going to fall prey, because we're going to leave ourselves open. And they can't do anything we don't allow.
Yeah.
We allow it. You know, we want to believe that we're victims of these other forces, but, you know, we're not victims.
Mm.
We are allowing it because we are choosing not to be fully conscious.
Yeah. And well, that goes back to the brutal honesty thing. Is that part of being conscious is to see the pain of the world, and not to live in the kind of you know, I'll use the term New Agey. Love and lighters, and everything's peace and all is good. You know, there's a dark agenda too, and we can't ignore it.
If we
ignore it at our peril, because we're here to fix it. All of these love and light workers, yes, it's very good, but we have to be love and light in this mire.
Exactly.
Dig out the holes.
Well, it's, you know, I've told, you know, Donna has been with me many times when we've been talking. You know, recently they spoke about the Akashic Records, and they spoke about astrology,
mm-hmm.
and then they spoke about electricity. And when they were telling me this stuff, you know, I was like, Donna, you know, and I was sharing it with her, and I was saying, oh my gosh, they're telling me the Akashic Records have been hijacked. You know, they're telling me that astrology has been hijacked, you know, and now they're talking about electricity. And, you know, basically they're saying, you know, don't sleep in electricity, in electric fields. And, you know, as soon as I was really saying this to her and really actualizing it, it's like they took my consciousness and just hurled me through some time warp or some black hole. And these are the things that they do. But, you know, in those moments when they've, you know, when I've allowed myself, you know, a little bit of fear, a little bit of doubt, and that's what it takes. That's all it takes for them to come in and be able to just take you and, you know, try to pull you away and distract you and hurl your consciousness. You know, if in those moments you can immediately come back into the we are, you know, we are love, we are sovereign, you know, we are Christ consciousness, you know, we are all that we need to be, you know, if you come back into that complete and total awareness, they can do nothing. They just have to bring you right back. They can do nothing. So it's really on us, Jeremy. It's really on us. And Illuminati, all of them. I mean, they can only do what we allow.
This is the message that we get over and over. You know, we have to be, it has to be always coming from within. That we have to choose And when we do, like you're saying, you know, when we don't choose, we get the stuff lumped on us, you know, and we have to dig our ways out of it. Sienna, would you tell, I mean, you've also spoken in the third person about Sienna.
Well, that
could you explain that to the audience?
Yes, and that is a part of the brutal honesty. Mm-hmm. You know, my birth name is Donna, and Donna's 52. She's a Leo, you know, with a Scorpio rising and a Libra moon. How cruel could one world be, you know?
But, Scorpio rising, lovely.
And, and Donna has had a very, a tough life, you know. And now we understand that the reason for this tough life is because, you know, the tools were being given with every one of these experiences.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it brings us to where we are today. Sienna is a higher aspect, a 13th dimensional aspect of the soul of Donna.
Mm-hmm.
And so as Donna does the work and becomes more fully conscious, then Sienna can come in to Donna's consciousness. And so right now we're in this process of transition where we are very careful to distinguish between Sienna and Donna. Because Donna still holds a lot of ego. Donna still holds a lot of anger.
Leo, Scorpio.
Sienna is none of those things. Yeah. You know, when Sienna is active, you know, Donna is very calm and very beautiful, allowing, smooth, even, loving. I mean, you can really tell when Sienna's around.
Okay, give me Sienna, please.
she's come in and out in the conversation. You know,
yeah.
She's come in and out. So what happened was I went up on the hill. I did a what Americans call a vision quest, what the natives call crying for a vision, crying for a dream.
Right.
And it's when you go into the wilderness without food or water and without, really, really without tents or comforts, you know. Mm. And you know, if you've done it in a good way, that you've spent a lot of time making prayers and prayer ties, and you've really put your heart into this and your intention. And this is something that, you know, Donna has wanted to do, you know, for many years, but just never felt that it was right. Now, for some reason, the Chief Golden Light Eagle, you know, that we're bringing in for this conference, for some reason, you know, there was an awareness that this was a person to trust. And so, and he's full on, you know, born and raised on a Yankton Sioux reservation. He's a chief of many generations, you know, full on Native, you know, and I hate to say Native American because he's full on Native.
Yeah.
I think it's an insult to call him an American.
Yeah, this is the now on War Spirit Radio we do speak to quite a few elders, and we've spoken about this very subject. You know, how do you address? From what I understand, they enjoy, they prefer to be called Turtle Islanders.
Yes, you know,
the Great Turtle Island is the name for everything. And actually, when I think of America, I think of that's the whole thing. You know, it's like Turtle Island is, you know, Canada, America, and Mexico. There's no border in my mind. It's all one place. It's only fragmented by the corporation. So, yes.
Well, actually, Turtle Island, yeah, right. And you're correct. You're right, exactly. And so here is this, you know, he was coming to the house to do speaking engagements before the conference, you know, to bring awareness and obviously, you know, to sell tickets. So, you know, he walks in and I have this agenda, you know, and I'm all about this agenda. Donna is anyway. And he's not giving me my way. And he's very matter of fact about it. And I say, well, in my world, now when I say in my world, I'm talking about Donna, you know, Donna's personal world. So I say, well, in my world, all these things are going on. And he interrupts me and he gets right up in my face and he said, I'm in your world. We're speaking English.
oh! Oh, bless your heart. That must have been. That must have been like. Can I crawl? Where's that hole in the ground?
So that was day one.
Yeah.
Day one, like 5 minutes in.
Oh, sweetheart.
And it's been a week now.
Yeah.
And he's living in my home with his wife. And it's been one of the greatest teachings. But I seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, all concept of time, anger, agendas. I mean, this man I've watched, you know, pretty closely. I mean, we've been up and running. We sleep about 5 hours, and other than that, we're together. And I will tell you, I'm waiting for the shoe to drop. You know, it's been amazing to watch this guy and who he is and how he lives and how he is with other people. And he's not perfect, you know, but it's just it's a whole another way of life. So it's been a great teaching. But I went on the hill with this man, and because he's Native, I thought, well, I'll see spirit animals and all this stuff, you know. It'll be a Native American experience. Oh, it was anything but. It was a star experience. This man works with the Star Brothers and Sisters.
Oh, really?
Oh, he does.
Now we're talking. Let's go beyond. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, I was visited by Metatron. I was visited by the Golden Ray. And what I didn't know is, when I went on the hill, this is who he works with. And so it was an amazing experience. The trees said, look, you know, all you have to do is be like us. That's all you have to do. Just be like a tree.
Just breathe.
Be rooted. Well, be rooted. Find your nourishment in the earth.
Uh-huh.
You know, be available to your brothers and sisters who need your support. You know, mm-hmm. Feed people when you can, you know, feed what you can, keep people warm when you can. I mean, think about all the things that a tree does. But I think the main message that I received was, you know, yeah, we just have to be in love and unity with, yeah, I don't have to save you. I don't have to fix you, you know. So it was quite a journey. And when I came down off of there, you know, Sienna had sort of dropped in, and so that was in April. And actually, she really dropped in back in December when we did a healing sweat with a Hioka man from Choctaw, from Oklahoma. We did 4 days of a sweat with this man, and he brought in the Hioka medicine and, you know, brought the owl medicine in. And Sienna really arrived on my very first sweat, but I didn't really understand until I came down off the hill with Chief Golden Light Eagle what was really happening, and that this higher aspect, you know, the aspect of myself that is the one that is here to help heal this planet, not this ego Donna, but this higher aspect, who Donna has cleared out enough room now. You know, Donna's done enough work to make room for Sienna.
Yeah, step aside for a while.
Yeah, and so it is a higher aspect. Yeah, it's another dimensional aspect of myself
that's
come in.
This is an interesting thing. So when you speak... All right, let's go back there. This is our destiny, everybody's destiny?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. So
we're avatars.
Yeah.
We're avatars.
Just like a puppet being infused with the consciousness and being driven by the entity, I believe, called our soul.
Exactly.
And the entity called our soul is an avatar in another game, and so on, all the way up to the dimension in which the Sienna Dehart exists.
Exactly. Now, for Sienna, that's the 13th dimension, and Sienna comes from the White Star planet. But, so, you know, what they say is that, you know, what they say to me is, you know, you're one body, but you represent many. So, you know, we're representing our tribes or our nations on these off-planetary systems. You know, we are the great experiment. You know, we've been told this over and over and over again. And, they're holding a space for us. You know, we're here to caretake for planet Earth, and, you know, we've not done such a very good job.
Mm.
And so, but we have free will, and that's the biggest piece of the experiment. And, you know, this whole idea, you know, because they have collective consciousness. Now, we are not operating from collective consciousness. We've been given the free will to have individual consciousness. If we were operating out of collective consciousness, our world would be a very different place. Now, they've allowed me to visit the world of collective consciousness. And it's really interesting. I mean, you have your own thought, but you also know everyone's thought. So there's no longer any secrets or any agendas. Mm. There's just no room for them. They just don't exist.
Is there also, because this is part of the conversation I've been having today, there is less threat in this place too. You know, one of the reasons that we don't tell the truth is because there are threats.
Oh yeah.
You know, don't upset me.
Yeah.
Look what happens when you upset me. You know.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I'm presuming that violence. Where does violence? How far does violence go up? In these dimensions, is it just here? Violence.
No. Yeah. They're saying it's as far as the seventh dimension.
Wow. And we're here at the third, yeah?
Yeah. Well, and what they want you to understand is, too, it's because there's been hijacking.
Yeah.
You know, the hijacking, they've gotten better and better at it. So they've worked their way up to the seventh dimension.
Right. So can you speak a little bit on hijacking? What has been hijacked? How it gets hijacked and how we tell?
Okay, so I will share with you what I've been made aware of.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm no scientist. You know, we would need Donna to come in and start talking physics and quantum physics. I'm no scientist, and I'm not learned. And I can tell you that I've not read the latest. You know, we have made an agreement with our guides not to investigate everyone else's story because, you know, we want to be a clear channel. So I will give you the information that I have. And understand that it's channeled through, you know, my ego as well. So take it for what it's worth, but here it is. We are crystalline bodies. We know this. And we have filaments. We have crystalline filaments, just like, you know, it's like a web. There's like a web around all of us. We have these filaments. And when we communicate with people, when we think about people, we connect these filaments to these other people. Okay? And so there's these crystalline filaments. We can't see them, but they're there. There's these crystalline filaments that we create all over the world. And so when you see all this art with the webs and all that, this is all very real, and they know this, okay? It's very real.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about the movie The Matrix. You know, there were so many webs and grids and all these things. This is all very real. The hijackers, it's all about fear. It's all about fear. That's all it is.
Of
you know,
course.
There's two vibrations. You know, at one continuum is love, and at the other continuum is fear. And then the resonant, you know, the levels of vibration go from zero hate to 10 love. Okay. So at some point along the continuum, you get low enough that this filament that you send out has a certain resonance that the hijackers can read, okay? And they can tap into that grid, that crystalline filament that you're sending out, okay?
Right.
And so we allow them in. It's us. We blame ourselves.
Okay. So we blame ourselves, and then?
And then we clean up this energy that we're putting out there. We have to.
Yeah, but we have to be aware that we're putting the energy out, because most people are not aware,
no,
either in their everyday lives, that we've been so lied to.
Exactly.
That we, by the things that we do every day in our regular, everyday, apparently ordinary lives, is essentially like a satanic ritual which inputs more fear into the grid.
And here's the deal, the most important, they're telling me, this is the most important message. Drop the gurus. Drop looking outside of yourself. You know, all of us have it within. We
absolutely
all have it.
Absolutely. This is the message of my show, really. I mean, at the beginning of it, it says, you know, we're going beyond gurus, beyond teachers, and all of these things. You know, it's how to find it within yourself. So that's why I'm joining.
Yeah, we need assistance. We do. We need assistance. We need people that have been there and that they know how. But we have to discern these people, that they're not in their egos, that they are in their hearts, and that they're giving to you from their hearts, and that they're helping you find your way from their hearts. And you have to pay close attention to the words that they use and the way that they use them to discern, is this person coming from their heart, or am I feeding their ego? And, you know, that's your job to discern. And we need help. We do need help. We do rely on each other. You know, we're not going to do any of this alone. You know, one of the biggest pieces that they say to me is, it's a puzzle. You know, they're looking down on us, and we're a puzzle, and all of the pieces have got to fit together. And that takes all of us. You know, that takes all of us. But we have the answers inside. We can meditate. We can pray. We can chant. We can do Qigong. We can do whatever it is. Whatever it is. You know, there's no one modality that's going to take us into our hearts. But it is our job to do this work. No one can take us there but ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not always the warmest invitation either. When I mean, normally you have to have some kind of serious trauma to actually push you towards it, don't you? And it certainly happened in my case.
Well, right. And, you know, the bad news is sometimes we say, what is it going to take for that person to wake up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah.
And, you know, so these conferences, you know, let's talk about symbols now, because
yeah.
I think that the symbols now are a way for us to help each other, because these symbols are very powerful and they have codes. You know, when Sienna's done some articles, and, you know, Donna has assisted Sienna a great deal in posting things on the website and things like this, and they'll code it. They'll literally code the words. And that's where we are right now. You know, everything is coded. So, you know, we're over here coding them with rainbow love, and they're coding them with fear.
Mm.
So we are responsible for the words that we use and understanding the coding of these words that we use. And, you know, corruption, you know, corruption, that word has been coded. So there's many words that have been coded, and they create entire holograms. They do. They build instantly. And they build rooms that have no doors or windows.
Yeah.
And so that's how we get trapped.
Oh, a lovely way of putting it. Very nice way of putting it. They build rooms that have no windows to get out. Brilliant. Thank you, Sienna.
Yes. And so what we do it to ourselves, Jeremy.
Yeah.
We do it to ourselves when we say, you know, if, or I can't, or I hate myself, or whatever it is. Mm. You know, we do the same thing because, you know, we have... We're manifestors, all of us. You know, the Illuminati has nothing on us. The Draco, they have nothing on us. The hijackers have nothing on us. We are just as powerful.
Mm.
We can do the same thing that they can do. We just don't believe it. And so we're constantly constructing these mansions that we live in that have no doors and windows. And then we invite others in to live with us in these windowless, you know, homes. So... we've got to start breaking down this construction. We've got to. And this is the painful piece that you're talking about.
Mm.
You know, creating the chaos and the destruction that's necessary to break through the doors. I mean, break through the walls and open doorways.
Yeah.
You know, this is what you speak of. This is the metaphor that they use, that, you know, that's all we're doing. That pain is us breaking through to a doorway, so that we can move through this onto the other side. And unfortunately, most of us are just not willing, and the stakes are high.
Yeah.
The stakes are high. So, you know, to give up, you know, when I came down from the hill, you know, they said, no more radio, no more TV, no more radio, like, you know, KISS 95.0.
Yeah.
Because those waves are hijacked.
Yeah.
They're hijacked.
They're modulated with other... other
yes.
frequencies, other. Well, I mean, you've seen They Live. I mean, that's the best metaphor that we have, really, is the signal that was coming through the television that was keeping everybody, or the television's transmitters, actually, that was keeping everybody in the construct.
Yeah, and that's the other thing they say, turn off the television.
Yeah.
You know, turn it off. You know, construct a chamber to sleep in that is not electrically hooked up.
Yeah.
So, like, have a little tent outside in your yard where you go outside and sleep and you're not connected to the grid. I mean, these things, I mean, they're brilliant. And we do have to recognize that they're there. They are there. But if we're living in love, we are unaffected by all of it. But we have to get to that point.
Yes.
And that's the work that you find so much joy in, Jeremy, is that work that takes us from this asleepness to the awakeness.
Yeah.
That's necessary for us to wake up to who we are, to the love that we are, to, you know, to believing that our very best friend is ourselves. Our greatest beloved is ourselves. I mean, it is. Because we're all one. But the tricky thing is until we love ourselves, we can't really love other people because we are other people. It's such a paradox, and it's such a snake eating its tail because it is what it is. I mean, we have to love ourselves first, and we have to treat ourselves like we would treat a king or a queen or a newborn child or whatever it is, you know, how our dog, you know, treats us, you know, the, you know, that ultimate, you know, love, you know. And once we do it for ourselves, that one moment that we do it for ourselves, then we do it for everyone. And then we continue to do it for everyone. And it's an amazing, amazing, amazing place to be. And I'm not going to tell you I live there 24/7 because that would be a lie, but I do live there. And I have hope for us. I really do. Because I believe that we're at an age right now where there's enough of us, as you say, on these grid points that recognize what's happening and so are so committed, and they're giving up their lives to do this work and to bring this healing to humanity. So I believe, you know, some say, you know, Keith's wife is a beautiful, beautiful woman. Her name is Joan. She's so beautiful. And she says, it's already done. It's already done. We just have to go through the motion. It's already done. It's already done. You know, I don't know if I completely resonate with that because I do believe that we have to choose it. And that's the biggest piece. They're not going to do it for us. You know, there's a funny image that they showed us, you know, and Donna and I find great joy in reliving this. And they showed us this, like an arena, you know, like an arena where you have a balcony and you can look down to the floor of the arena.
Yeah.
And so we're in the arena, you know, humanity is in the arena, and they're up in the balcony, and they're looking down, and they're not speaking, but they're cheering. Like, their hands are in the air, and they're like, yay! But they're not saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
You get, or no sound is coming out. And then they have these goggles, and they're wearing goggles. And I don't know why. Now, these are star beings, you know. Mm-hmm. They don't look like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
And but they're wearing goggles, okay? And they're cheering, but they're not making a sound. But every now and then, they'll make this noise, and it goes, ah! And it's like they're saying, just get in harmony.
Uh-huh.
Just get in harmony. So now, whenever Don and I are really stressed out, you know, getting ready for this conference, whatever we're doing, you know, we'll just look at each other and go, oh, and roll. You know, we just start rolling in laughter because nothing is important.
Yeah.
What's important, the only thing that's important is that we're in unity, is that we love each other. All this other stuff that we get all yanked up about, it really means it's nothing. All of this is a distraction.
If I may use a worship of Ra, amen, sister.
Right, and we've studied Ra, and you know, Toth has visited us. You know, we've met Toth in the 3D.
Oh.
And we have. And, you know, at first we thought it was a Native American. You know, because we were on Cherokee land, and we thought it was the Cherokee, you know, warrior.
Hmm.
And when we got up to the top, you know, it was the bird face. You know, it was Toth.
Wow.
And the minute, yeah. And we don't see a lot in 3D, so this was a real, hey, sister, you know, pay attention. And the minute that we got to his face and saw his face, you know, and saw that it was Toth, he was gone. Hmm. Boom, that fast. But many, many of our bird brothers and sisters have come to us since, and we're surrounded by the bird clan. And you know, there's an awareness of a healing for the Bird Clan. So I really, I don't know. There's an idea that once the Bird Clan is healed, then you're going to see a lot of things happen very quickly. And we do believe that this 922 galactivation, as we're calling it, is one of those very major steps in the healing of the Bird Clan. And we imagine that, you know, 1221 will be another major doorway. Mm. Because, you know, Donna sent you the grid. We did the diamond shaped.
Right. Okay. Hang on. Pause. Pause, Sienna. Let's put this this into the chat box, the link to this, so that people can understand what you're talking about when you're talking about the grid and various other things. So let me just first of all grab that crystal grid page, and then I'm going to put that across to the chat room at Wolf Spirit Radio so that people know what we're talking about. There's the first one, and this is the grid that you're talking about is down the page. It's the second from the bottom, and if you click on it, you can see it in much greater detail. And it's the one that you see, it's a diamond shape, and it's in sand on gravel and all very carefully laid out. Now, I spent a little while talking with Donna Spratt about this and just looking at the stonework. I mean, this to me reminds me of the Tibetan monk's mandala.
Well, it is, and it's called the Four Doors of Metatron. And what this is we talked about this. We began to speak of the symbols, and when you spoke of how do we get there, and we spoke about assisting people, and we assist them with these symbols. Now, these symbols, Chief Golden Light Eagle has been on many ships, and what he sees on these ships is a resonance of these symbols. These symbols. You remember the Roswell crash?
Just about to say, they remind me of the girder in the Roswell crash.
They're exactly the same. One and the same. Okay? So these are the same symbols that were in the Roswell crash. Very same. Exactly. So these symbols have Chief Golden Light Eagle and some other medicine men in his reservation have come together, and you know, in his clan and his tribe, they've come together and they've done ceremony with each and every one of these symbols, and they've got some answers. So we're learning how to use these symbols, and there's a book that's been written that talks about them. Now there's an Earth Guardian, mm-hmm. a Star Guardian, and an Ascended Master Guardian. So there's three dimensions or three levels of guardians for each one of these symbols. So the Four Doors of Metatron is a grid specific for the healing of the heart, mind, body, and spirit of humanity. First is the individual, then is the family, then is the community, then is the collective human race, and then in relationship to the earth. So the intention of this conference, as laid out by Metatron, because Metatron visited me and said, please construct this grid to hold the energies, because what we're going to do is we're going to activate this grid, and it's going to act as a beacon for the disincarnated energies to come together to be released through the astral plane. Because what has happened is, through the karma of the disincarnates that are here and the karma that we've created, these beings are trapped. They cannot ascend the astral plane. They need our assistance. So Metatron said, look, you're going to have all these light workers, all these grid workers, all these earth keepers, all these shamans coming in for this conference. Let's build this grid. Let's create this beacon. Let's call these energies in so they know they can choose to be released and set free through this grid. So let me tell you, brother, Donna has got some pictures, and I hope that she'll continue to post them on Cosmic Mind or Donna Spratt on Facebook. Just amazing light beings that have been coming in all around this house and all around this grid. So after we put the grid in, that's when they came and they talked about the circles, and then, you know, we saw the other crop circle come in with the hands and the two diamond shapes. So that you should have all three.
Right, okay, hang on a second. Let me just post that one too. So this is the crop circle that appeared. When
after
was it?
We built the grid.
This appeared in Wiltshire on the 26th of July. And when did you build the grid?
Probably like the 17th or something like that. It was, yeah, about that probably. About, Donna may know exactly because she took pictures. So she may know exactly the date. But, yes, it was in July. And it was very soon after that they came to my dream time and said, you know, we're holding a space for you. And so that's when people say it's already been done. I don't really believe it because we have to choose it. And what they're saying is, we're holding a space for you.
Like, yeah.
We can't interfere, but we're holding this space. And so if you look at that cross circle, you've got the diamond, the circles across the hands, and then you've got that other diamond and the other, like we've passed through and they're holding a space for us to pass through, that diamond being, you know, the grid. So then we did a live interview and talked all about this. And the very next morning, the next crop circle arrived. And so that's the one that's the perfect diamond with the circles, just like the crystal grid. So it's like they copied the crystal grid and did a crop circle.
Right, okay, so let's pop that.
You have that one also, right?
Yeah, I'm just about to pop that one in now. Crystal grid crop circle. Right, there's that. So those, I put crystal grids off FOP. Crystal grid of crop circle. That's what it meant. So let's just talk about the, so you're opening a portal that is like, is that like a kind of protected tube through the astral plane so that people can go straight from 3D into the hyperspace?
And won't be hijacked.
Now, what about other thing? Is it a one-way process? Are there other entities that could possibly get in through that same portal?
No, we're not inviting them.
Right, and presumably, let's say this is moderated.
Yes.
There's a moderator. As it were, we have moderators in chat rooms to prevent, you know, abuse. So you have
exactly.
a moderator.
And we'll have, you know, now Laura will be there. There will be many workers there doing this work. People that are trained by Lisa Renee will be there from the ES community. We'll be activating the 12D shield, which Lisa Renee, you know, no one can say it better than Lisa Renee. Go to her YouTube channel and listen to her speak of the 12D shield. You know, we activate this shield. You know, it's like activating the, you know, violet flame. You know, it's another tool that we use to keep the integrity of our field. So we will be activating the 12D shield to hold the integrity of the field. I imagine that our star brothers and sisters will be present when we do this work because they've asked for it. But the other thing is we'll also be releasing dense energy, the karma. So we'll be clearing karma as well. Not only will we be releasing disincarnate spirits, but we'll also be releasing karma. We'll be clearing karma. About 350 years of karma.
Excellent. So let's just have a little break here, because we're around at the top of the hour, and it's a good opportunity to do so. Now we've gotten to the, you know, actual, this is the place arriving. People can study the pictures of the crop circles and the symbols and the things, and I can go and put a cup of tea on. Everybody can sit, you know, sink down, shake legs out and things. It's a fascinating interview. Thank you very much, Sienna. And so, right now we're going to have, 07 is the name of the band, and this track is called Distractions. It's lovely, I love this.
divorce.
Welcome back to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. I am speaking with Sienna Dearheart. I love it. Yeah, I just love Dearheart. It sounds so nice. It's so, oh, Dearheart. So it's like an instant sister, your sweetheart. So, So I asked that we were talking about questions from the chat room, and we're just speaking about one of them. And actually, the first question that I got, which is quite a relevant question regarding what we're talking about in the first hour, is Tobias is asking, could you ask about collective versus unified consciousness? I think that's a very, very incisive question.
Wow. Well, it is. Well, okay. Collective consciousness is when the whole you have collective consciousness of the mind, which is when the consciousness of humanity, okay, we have a collective field. It's there, regardless of whether we resonate or not. So there is a stream or a collective consciousness of humanity that exists. So much like, taking color and putting color into a pot and then mixing up mixing the color, that's our collective consciousness. So if on a certain day you've got more people in the love vibration, it'll be green. If you just use color as an analogy. So we have a collective consciousness that exists. No matter what our collective field is, it exists. Whether it's negative, whether it's positive, meaning love-based or hate-based or fear-based, it exists. Unified consciousness is when we see ourselves in unification, which is certainly not what we're doing today. So a unified consciousness would be when we are unified in our consciousness as one body or one being or one spirit, one God. That's your unity consciousness. Did that make sense?
So this is like the unity consciousness is really like, I'd like to say bringing heaven down, but on a more
It is
mental form. Yeah, exactly. I know, but it's like that's almost like it's like a cliche. But to actually have thoughts in our own personal brains that are thoughts that somebody who had enormously high perspective, like that of an advanced ET or of a god or of something like that, into our physical being.
Well, that exists. So it's much like a stream rolling down, and they can like stick their toe in the water.
That's right.
And then they feed our consciousness. Now they do that. They're probably not really supposed to, but they do. But unified consciousness is when we're aware and we have a unified consciousness. Collective consciousness exists. Now, off planet, when you go into a collective consciousness with other beings, they don't have negative thoughts. They have negative thoughts. They don't have negative emotion. They don't really have emotion. So every one of them can speak at the same time and yet speak individually too. So you can hear every single thought that's being thought by every single being that exists, and yet you can still hear your own thoughts. And so you communicate in that way, and there's no words spoken. So it's all telepathic. So we're not there yet.
No.
I believe we can be there. I mean, I am telepathic. There are telepathic people that I know, but I am not telepathic with everyone that I come in contact with. So telepathy is here. There's a woman, her name is Grandma Chandra, and she is 100% telepathic. She does not speak, and she is able to activate telepathy. Now, I would imagine that if you're holding too much judgment, she's not going to be able to activate you. Because judgment is a very real block to telepathy.
Lovely, thank you.
So, here's the deal. You know when they say, if you're speaking, you can't hear?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Well, judgment is, if you're thinking, you can't telepath.
Oh, so, lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. So judgment's still up the room. So there's no room for telepathy.
Yeah.
Because telepathy streams in. It streams in. It's a vibration. It streams in.
Mm.
It can't. If your mind is full of judgment, there's nowhere for it to stream.
Yeah.
There's no space.
Judgment is a very concrete way of thinking, and it creates great big thick concrete obstacles in the brain.
It does.
Yeah.
and in relationships with others.
You listen to this. So,
we all have that experience. Yeah, when we meet people, and we think we know who they are, and we think we know, and then somebody says something, and then we think we know why they said it. All of that. And we're having this whole conversation, this whole relationship in our minds with people, and they've not participated one bit.
No.
They don't even have a clue what's going on because we're not speaking with them. We're in our heads. Judging, analyzing, categorizing, and we think that we have all the answers. And then, and listen, we meet, we date. What is it? Judge, jury, and executioner all in one thought.
They have this the TV program. They call it Snog, Marry, and Avoid. And you're presented with a bunch of members of the opposite sex, and you just have to give your immediate judgment of them.
Yeah.
Well, now sometimes the first impression is good, but once the head kicks in, you're lost.
Right. Well, if that first impression is a heartfelt impression, then
yeah.
Of course. Of course, because Jeremy, we know everything. We have all the answers.
Always.
In our heart. Mm. Yeah. Everything. There isn't anything that we don't have. It's all there. It's in ourselves.
So, just going back a little bit, and this is a part of a conversation we had off the air early on. Speak about the dear heart, because that really touched me. Even actually saying the word dear heart, as in the heart of a deer, fills me with such expansive, soft, exquisite sadness, sweetness.
Exactly. Well, there's no accident, we spoke about how words are coded, and dear heart is coded for a reason. And they've given me this name for a reason. Spirit gave me this name. I didn't, this wasn't my invention. And the deers come to me often, and the elk also, because the deer, the elk, all the horned four-leggeds, are from the same family. But, I was telling Chief Golden Light Eagle that when we were in Wyoming and we were driving through Utah to go to the airport, and in 1 hour, 6 deer came to my car, on the highway. Oh. Like, they came right to the car and looked at me. I was in the passenger side. And I said, Tim, and he's like, Donna, you see the deer crossing signs? Why are you so amazed? I said, Tim, I'm 52 years old. I've been driving down roads with deer crossing signs all my life. I've never seen 6 deer look me in the eye in an hour. Come on now. So the deer heart, if you're in the native tradition, if you're looking for a dream, if you want a dream, you'll eat a deer heart.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah. Right.
Right, okay.
Because the deer heart is so pure. It's so allowing and it's so pure. And so the natives will eat a deer heart for a dream in a very ceremonial way. And we did, Donna and I and some other friends, we did experience this. My husband had killed a deer. And this chief had come through town. He's Hayoka, that's a different kind of medicine man. And he said that, and just that day, my husband had said, I need a deer. I have a deer heart. We need to eat it. Find out how to eat it. I didn't have a clue. I'm a city girl. And we go to this meeting with this chief, and he says, not Chief Golden Light Eagle, but one of his brothers. And, brother in spirit, he's Choctaw. Chief is is Yankton Sioux. He's Dakota. But he said, I need a deer heart. I need a dream. And I said, oh, we have a deer heart. Do you want to come over and eat the deer heart? And so he comes and we eat the deer heart. And then he says, we need a lodge. We need a sweat lodge. We need a healing sweat. And I said, well, okay, we have some land. Let's go put the sweat lodge there. So the very first night, the very first lodge of my life, it was, I went into a panic attack. I was like, oh, it's craziness. And I was driving home and crying like a baby, just crying, 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 and I hear this voice. You know, when I say voice, what I mean is this telepathy comes into my mind, and it says, I am the wolf, and I come from the south, and you are like me. You stand in the shadow of the fire. And then I hear another voice, and it says, I am the deer, and I come from the east, and you are like me. As a woman, you hold the heart of a deer. So I said, wow, you know, and I just cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. And, you know, as each moment was coming on and there were people and people involved and I was sort of hosting this lodge, I had to be more and more generous, more and more allowing, more and more compassionate, more and more accepting. And I have found that ever since that night, my life is just a series of, like, openings and openings and openings and my heart opening, and I keep rolling along. So I guess it was a few months later, we go to Sedona, and we're with a bunch of folks, and we're doing a bunch of ceremony, and one of them looks at me and says, the star beings want me to tell you that your name is Sienna. S-E-I-N-A, Sienna, C-N-A, dear heart. So what she described to me was that by having Sienna, dear heart, as my spirit name, that's what it does, Jeremy, just what you said, so that when people see me and they hear that, they can hear the message, you know, because we always want to kill the messenger.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why Sienna is Sienna, dear heart, because we're saying we're inviting you to see in a deer's heart, and that's the heart that brings you these words.
Beautiful. That's lovely. So thank you for sharing that story. That's I just want to let that settle a bit.
Well, I'll tell you, and I wish that Donna was here and could post this picture. There was when we were in Wyoming, we were at Yellowstone National Forest with our two sons, and this is our annual, you know, two-week motorhome trip with our family. And we're on a trail, and my son was just horrible, horrible, horrible. He was being horrible. And in my heart, you know, Donna would spank him probably, and, you know. But because Sienna, lately anyway, seems to have more of a voice in Donna's life than Donna, you know, Sienna, you know, said, oh, I love you, and please make better choices. You know, it was a very loving experience, and it was difficult because my husband was very angry and would have preferred that he receive a spanking and didn't really feel supported by my decision to show up in love instead of anger. And about 2 seconds later, Jeremy, my son was ahead of me, this one that had been misbehaving. He's ahead of me, and he goes, Mom, Mom. Because they don't know who Sienna is. They hear Donna and I talk about Sienna all the time. And the avatar for Sienna's Facebook page is a painting of a deer. Mm-hmm. And so he says, he's 8 years old, Mom, Mom, there's Sienna. Look, there she is. And I come around the corner with the rest of the family, and here is this beautiful deer. And she's just standing there and just looking at us.
Oh.
Just being with us. For quite some time, I'm not kidding you.
And I appreciate that because they are very, very skittish and really don't like cars and humans and all that stuff.
But here are two little boys and my husband and I.
Yeah.
I'm taking pictures of her, and she's beautiful, and she's looking, and she telepaths to me, and she says, I just want to go to the creek. I'm on my way to the creek. I just want to get past so I can go to the creek. You know, not those words like we say, but that's the...
Yeah, the feeling, yeah.
Yeah. So I say, okay, we won't move. And she waited a minute, you know, to trust us that she could keep going and that we would mm-hmm. not disturb her. Mm-hmm. And eventually she just went. But it was so amazing. And, you know, my son just kept saying, Mommy, Mommy, that was Sienna. That was Sienna.
Oh!
It was just so beautiful because, you know, this is... That's who she is. You know, that's what she represents. You know, these messages that they've given. And, you know, Sienna has written a couple of articles, and we will ask Donna to post all this on Facebook so people can read them. But now there's some stuff that's old, but there's also some more current stuff there. But, you know, some of these messages that they've asked Sienna to deliver, some of them I've, you know, held on to because they're harsh. You know, people are not going to like it. And, you know, I think that's why they want the deer, you know, because deers never mean harm. And they're only here to give. And these messages are not meant to harm. They're meant to assist us. And these are the things that, you know, we just have to let go of in order to heal the planet. And, you know, Jeremy, not everyone is called. Not everyone is called to heal this planet.
The deer. And again, we were talking earlier about looking for my totem, and I was just driving along one night, and I just the thought occurred to ask the universe, what's my totem animal? It was late, dark at night. I was driving down a country track, and I just had that wondering, and I didn't expect an immediate response. But that's what I got. Maybe that was, you know, the question was created by the answer appearing. But as I turned the next corner, an amazingly noble and magnificent stag appeared in front of me and then ran off. But it looked at me and then ran off. And I thought, oh, right, okay, thank you. It was like a very, very instant message from the universe. So so I really relate to the deer thing, and I just love the deer, the wolf and the deer story, because what's here we are. Look, we're here on Wolf Spirit Radio, and it's like a campfire. We have a chat room kind of atmosphere, and it's like being around the campfire. And people share their stories and ask their questions, and
that's what we do. We hide in the shadows because we're afraid, because we kill the messenger.
Wow. And it's interesting that Wolf Spirit Radio is actually it's based in Nevada in the West, and there you are, the deer in the East, and I'm over here and even further east. Mind you, we can go on about this all night. But let's...
Well, and you know there's no accidents.
That's right. That's right. So, we have 35 minutes left, and we've hardly even spoken about what's happening next week, because we've been kind of talking about things and amazing. I love this conversation. Thank you very much, Sienna. Would you like to tell the world about what's happening next week?
Yes, I would. My husband is counting on it, I'm sure. When we were coming home from Humbleche, we talked about going up on the hill with Chief Golden Light Eagle. A woman's telepathed into my consciousness, and she said, I am Corn Woman, and if you will bring Chief Golden Light Eagle to North Carolina on the fall equinox, we will help you. Well, we had 2 months to get this done, and it seemed crazy and insane, and there were many people that said, don't do this. This is going to take a chunk, and it's going to be hard on your family, and, you know, all of this, because we homeschool, too. We homeschool our boys. So, I prayed and said to Donna, will you help me do this? I mean, will you be, like, will you have my back? Will you be with me every step of the way, no matter how out of control I get? You know, will you be there? You know, if this ego gets out of control, smack it down for me. You know, whatever it takes, you know, will you take this journey? And she was like, yes, absolutely.
Oh.
And so she, you know, I mean, there's no way this could have ever been accomplished. She's amazing. And not only just the 3D stuff of, like, the website and, you know, running errands and all those things and designing all the flyers and, you know, creating a Facebook for Sienna to communicate as the hostess here, and, you know, also creating all these event pages, you know, all the 3D stuff she's done, she has, no doubt. But there's a couple other things I want to acknowledge. You know, she also gave up her entire crystal collection for the crystalline grid. She gave up 1,000 ascension crystals. So much money in stones. And not only that, those stones don't mean money to Donna. You know, this is her heart. You know, this is, these are stones that she has collected and loved on, you know, for years. And she just willingly and openly just brought me one right after the other, you know, to build this grid, boxes of them, you know. And I just I said, Donna, are you sure?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, Donna, we love you so much. I love you so much.
Yeah.
I'm holding a, as I speak in my hand, a crystal wand, an organite wand that Donna made for me. So I'm sending that love and thank you straight back to her. She's getting it all.
Yeah.
She should be glowing by now.
She's having to entertain all our guests. But the other thing that she has done is she has held space. You know, it's very difficult to, as much as I love, you know, talking to all these people and answering all these emails and, you know, helping all these speakers get here, and, you know, because we're flying them all in, we're paying to bring them in, we're paying for them a place to stay, you know, paying for the facility. There's so much cash involved, and it's cash. It's, you know, it's real money. You know, it's not let me pay in 30 days. And,
yeah.
So it's not let us raise the money and pay you later, you know. So it's been just an outlay of cash. So, of course, my husband is watching all of this happen, and, you know, the speakers, you know, they have their needs and, you know, having to manage all of this. And then the people that want to come, you know, they have their million questions. So all this energy is going out all the time. And Donna holds a space for me, you know, a respite, an energetic chalice for me to come and receive love from her, you know, and compassion. So she's not only on the 3D realm, you know, been an invaluable, you know, love and light, but also, you know, to Sienna, she has, you know, held a space and just supported Sienna's message and really encouraged Sienna to speak up and send things out. And then she's been just a best friend to Donna, you know, allowing Donna her moods and helping Donna, you know. And the code is Donna, get curvy, you know, because sometimes Donna with that Scorpio can just be such a straight line, and she'll say, getting a little straight line, you need to get a little curvy. So she's, you know, she's been amazing, and she's such a gift and such an angel, you know. And we know that, you know, she'll move on and find, you know, others to assist, you know, but we sure enjoyed her being here with us and being a part of, you know, the creation of Bioconscious Universe. And, you know, we're hoping that, you know, my husband and I have been looking for land to create this community. And we, you know, we're looking for like 300 or more acres. And she's been a big part of holding that space. And so we hope that she'll choose to live at Bioconscious Universe and really be a part of all of it and teach about, you know, Oregon and teach about, you know, the orbs and the light beings that she has such a relationship with.
Yeah, well, you just need to have her around, that's all.
Yeah.
You should pay her to be around. That's what she needs. Yeah.
We do. We take care of her. We take care of her. Yeah, we do. We just got her a smartphone, so.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah,
Android.
So now she has, you know, the computer at her hands, and every now and then she'll text me and say, I love this phone. So
absolutely.
We do take care of her. We do.
Absolutely.
So we agreed to do this. We agreed to do the conference when Corn Woman came in, and, you know, we built the grid as Metatron asked, and, you know, we were all dancing around, but then there was a little bit of discordant energy that came in, and, you know, Wallace Black Elk channeled in, you know, came into this dream and had some things to say about holding your vision and, you know, not letting go of your vision and not letting things distract you from your vision. And then Corn Woman came in and said, you know, I am Corn Woman. I'm here to feed the people. I'm here to separate the wheat from the chaff. And in these days, I'm here to separate truth from illusion and feed the hearts of the people with the truth. So clearly, you know, what Donna and I began to realize is, wow, not only are we holding space, creating a beacon to lift off this density, this karma from 350 years plus these disincarnate spirits, but also we're bringing in these light workers, and we're going to help the people that come to this conference really discern and disseminate, you know, this information. And, you know, hopefully go home and, you know, spread this love and continue, you know, to raise the vibration. And then we found out that, you know, the internal core of the Earth, you know, there's an internal grid. You know, our brother here asked us about the energies that we see from the astral.
Yeah.
You know, the internal core, the platinum core, they call it, where there's an internal grid in the Earth. This is the grid that we're moving. This is the grid that we're ascending. And this grid and the astral grid will become one. And this is how we're going to move into the fourth dimension. So the tears, you know, the repairs that have to be made, this is the work that we're doing. We've got to repair this grid, both the astral grid, but also the internal grid, you know, from all the mining, all the things that we've done to the Earth, you know, just like a person who has surgery or breaks a bone or whatever, you know, their meridians are cut. So the meridians of the Earth have been cut.
Yeah.
So when you speak of this energy, you know, from the astral, that's what I see, you know, is that when we repair these meridians, then these energies that we're seeing, you know, just like they show me a coil like a stove, and you know, these negatives or these disincarnates or these, you know, the Dracos or the robots that the Illuminati have created, any of this, you know, it will be like our vibration will be at such a resonance that anything that comes into our field will burn away, just like a piece of food on a hot element, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So these energies, I'm not sure that I understand the question, but the energies will be gone. And so we'll be the rainbow light body that we are. You know, that's what. But now from the astral, that's not what we see. You know, right now from the astral, there is a lot of clouding, a lot of murkiness, and you're not really seeing that rainbow light body in the way that we want to see it, or that it is really there. We have to uncover all these other energies. If that's the way he meant his question, I'm not quite sure.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So as we're speaking, I'm thinking about what you were saying about the grid that you've created and the portal that's going to create. That for this period of time, that portal is going to be open because it's favorable, isn't it? The conditions, the way the etherics are arranged and solar oppositions and all that stuff.
922.
Yeah, it's and the numerology, of course, also fits.
Yeah.
So that it's like a. This is the way I see what your elder spoke to you about was that she's saying it's already happened, in that the blueprint for it has been created, and all that needs to happen is at that time for somebody to be there doing something.
Yes.
But if the intention is there, it makes it less shocking.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. And that's the piece that Don and I have been holding since we agreed to do this conference. And yes, we have a Star Knowledge conference coming where Chief Golden Light Eagle and his family will come and teach on these symbols and what they mean and how to use them. These symbols that have been given by Creator and symbols that all Star Nations carry on their ships. So all the Star Nations are using these symbols. So, yes, they're coming to teach these symbols, but we have all kinds of people that are coming in, you know, to share their journey and share their story. You know, as you speak of Laura Eisenhower, she's one of them. There's many, many that are coming in. We're creating a grid. We're creating a labyrinth, a temporary labyrinth, and we're asking for people to, you know, send us, you know, these crystals. You know, send them to us, and we'll put them in this labyrinth, and then we'll move them, you know, to a more permanent home in the way that our Star Brothers and Sisters have asked us to do. But Donna wants to make sure that I speak of one other thing, because last time I spoke on the radio, I didn't speak of this, and she was very upset with me.
Ooh.
Yes, so we don't want to get in trouble again.
No, you don't.
No. So a couple of weeks ago, there was one morning, you know, we were meditating, and all of a sudden, the room was filled with the spirit of children. It felt like millions of children. And they were sad, you know. And I said, well, what's up? You know, what's going on? And they said, well, you know, we're not happy, you know. And okay. And they said, we'd like to pass. We'd like to move on beyond the astral plane, but we're still here because we don't trust the adults. And I said, what do you mean? You know, what do you mean? And they said, well, there are so many children, homeless and starving children that have to sell their body to sleep and to eat. And we don't like this.
Oh.
And so we don't trust the adults, so we're asking you to create something for us, for the children. And I'm saying, of course, you know, anything. And they said, well, we want you to create pendants and peace. So pendants, like necklaces, pendants and peace.
All right.
And we want the children to make these. And we want this to be a project that the children are doing. And so I said, okay, well, tell us. So you know how, you know the bottle caps, the metal bottle caps with like the ridge on them?
Yeah.
That come on. Okay, well, you know how kids like to collect those?
Oh, right, do they? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they do, they do.
Uh-huh.
So
we got to go downstairs. my housemate's beer caps. Sorry.
Yeah. No, well, there's something about them.
All right.
So what they've asked us to do is we're going to take bottle caps, and we've already done it. We have some posted on Facebook. But they're going to take bottle caps, and we're going to stamp these polymer clay bottle caps. And then, you know, the kids decorate them. We put a hole in them with a string, and we stick them in the oven. Well, what we're asking is that people make these with the kids, only made by the kids.
Mm.
Get a gallon of water, a blanket, and 5 cans of food. Take it to the shelter. Get a receipt. Send the receipt and the pendants to us. And then we're going to put it, we've created a website, and we'll put it on the website, you know, like these came from England, these came from North Carolina, and then we're gonna send them as far away as we can. So for every pendant that a child sends us, we'll send them another one made by another child.
Uh-huh.
And all the receipts that come from the shelters, we're going to post a list of all the shelters that took the donations, and we're going to send decals that have the Pendants in Peace logo, which is a peace sign made out of the pendant, the bottle caps,
mm-hmm.
and stick it on the shelter door or window so that the homeless children will know that food is there for them, and blankets are there for them, and water is there for them. And our ultimate goal, of course, Jeremy, mm-hmm. is to raise funds to create shelters for these children, homes, group homes.
Communities.
Yes, because the foster system has failed these children, you know.
Sure.
We failed these children as adults. We have failed these children. So on Sunday at the conference, we're going to launch Pendants in Peace, and we're inviting people to come that day with their children, and their only entrance fee is a gallon of water, a blanket, and 5 cans of food. But, of course, you have to have children with you to get that deal. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have a mass making of pendants, and you know, we're gonna take pictures of them, and those donations are gonna go to the Cherokee Boundary here in North Carolina. That's gonna be our first donation, is the shelter for the children in the Cherokee Boundary.
That is so beautiful that I am actually having difficulty speaking here, and so thank you so much. Would you like to speak more about the guests, the speakers that you have at the conference this week?
You mean who our speakers are?
Yeah.
Okay. But first, what I want to do, please, Jeremy, is I want to give the address. If people want to send crystals.
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
If they want to send crystals for the labyrinth, or if they want to send pendants with the donation receipt, it's P.O. Box 1897, Hendersonville, North Carolina, 28793. And you can send that to BioConscious Universe.
Right, hang on. Can you do that again?
Start.
Bio Conscious Universe.
Bio
Conscious.
Yes.
Two
universe.
Words.
Yeah.
P.O. Box.
P.O. Box. Yes.
1897.
1897. Yeah.
Hendersonville.
Hendersonville. That's a long name. Well.
N.C.
North Carolina. Yep. And the number?
28793.
28793. Okay, there we go. So I'm just posting that into the
chat room there.
Okay, thank you. Now Donna will be happy.
Organize, make sure she's got the crystals. She needs her tools, that lady.
Yes, she does.
That's your grid work. Your grid workers need their tools.
That's right. And she gave all of hers up. And I have a beautiful wand that she gifted me as well.
That's right. So we're connected.
We are.
We're on the grid. So I'll be considering what's going on, whatever we're doing this on this side of the pond. Bless your hearts. Bless your hearts. It is so beautiful. So some of the speakers that you've got there.
Well, as you've already mentioned, you know, we have Laura Eisenhower.
Yeah.
She's one of our. I'm pulling up all our speakers right now so that I don't leave anybody out.
And with Laura Eisenhower, it automatically comes Dr. Dream.
Yes, Dr. Dream. So we have Keith Golden Light Eagle, who is the one that speaks about these symbols. And then we have Grandmother Silverstar, who speaks about the 13 moon calendar and how to apply these symbols every day, you know, on your day-to-day life.
Have you got a kind of location for these people, just to give an idea of how far in these people are coming and what lands, what nations they're representing?
Well, Chief Golden Light Eagle comes from the Yankton Sioux Reservation in South Dakota,
mm-hmm.
and he is Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Grandmother Silverstar comes from the Ozarks of Missouri, and she's from Cherokee Wolf Clan.
Mm-hmm.
Chief Blue Star Eagle is actually Chief Golden Light Eagle's brother, so he comes from the same Sioux Nation in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Grandmother Barbara Morningstar teaches about health. How to use food as a healing modality. She's an amazing healer. I've seen her heal many people. She is Lakota, also from the East Coast. Bear Cloud is Osage. He's a native, and he lives in Sedona. Grandmother Silverstar is in Pennsylvania. Grandma Chandra is in Phoenix. Makanupa, Linda Coda. She is Lakota and Cherokee. So she's from the Lakota Nation and the Cherokee Nation. James Duncan is the Western Band Cherokee from Missouri. Linda Coda Makanupa, she's from Maine. Grandmother Barbara Blue Star is here in North Carolina. Bob Barnhill will be our drummer. He is from, I think, Iowa. Yolanda Martinez is Apache. She will be coming from New Mexico, and she's a beautiful, beautiful drum maker, so she will be helping people make drums. David Swing is he works with the Fair Folk, and he's local. He's amazing. Cynthia Moore, she's one of the light workers. She's one of the grandmothers. She's one of the sun dancers, and she works with crystals. Jay Gore has a beautiful geodesic dome. It's called the Light Center. It's quite a powerful place here. And he's an amazing being. You know, he's just one of those, guys that woke up in the 60s and he stayed awake. And he's an amazing being. When you speak with him, I mean, he's probably the most humble person I've ever spoken to in my life. Sue Walker is an astrologer, medical intuitive. She'll be coming from Iowa. Dr. Brian Christie, or Your Rock, he's here local. He's also a publisher. He's a channeler. He's done a lot of work. He's been traveling for a long time. Grandmothers Barbara Wolf and Margaret Anderson are our Global Meditation Network. These two grid workers are just amazing. And, you know, every time they call to speak with us, you know, it's like going on an amusement park ride. They're just so amazing. but they travel the world. They travel the world doing grid work, you know, on their own dime. I mean, these women are amazing. Hideo Izumoto is from Japan, and he is an acupuncturist, and he uses copper spirals with platonic solids, and he does a god chant. This guy's amazing. I've not met him. I've spoken to him. He's visited my home and stayed in my home with Donna while we were in Yellowstone, but we're really looking forward to him. We have Yamani, and he's from Japan. We have Yamani Simmons, who lives here. She's a Reiki practitioner, she's coming to. She's a peace pilgrim. You know, she's a spiritual activist, but I would call her a peace pilgrim. That's her mission. And she's a beautiful woman. And then, of course, Anil or Steve Pitt. I can't wait for him. Sacred geometry, star knowledge, central sun, golden sun, our sun. I mean, this man is, you know, a mathematician. He's amazing. And then, of course, Laura and Dr. Dream, who come from L.A. Steve comes from New Mexico. Shelly Entine is an astrologer who comes from South Carolina. Dave Staffen and Sandra Fecht, they both come from Canada, and they're going to be speaking of the darker side of the hijacking, the psychological traumas, and the ritualistic hijacking that happens to people.
Yeah. We're big on that in Wolf Spirit Radio. We go there often.
Yeah, they're going to be speaking of that. August Worley, he is a Reiki master, musician, tone therapist, electric engineer, and he will be. He has created a machine. It's called Paradigm. I've been on the table many times. When Chief came in, I said, Chief, let's go do this. And he looked at the table, and he was like, eh. And then when he got off the table, he said, don't tell him, but I feel better. You know, so it's amazing. It's a Palladian energy. It's really amazing. And he's local. Then Trisha McCannon, she's in Atlanta. I was in her home just the other day, and she showed me her life's work, and I said, oh, I want this. You know, she has written so many books, and she has compiled so much information, and she's just a beautiful teacher and healer, and she'll be speaking as well. I just can't wait. Ron and Missy Hill. Missy has a local station. She's been interviewing everyone for us, and we've been posting it. They have the night goggles, and so they'll take you out and share their night goggles so that you can see the ship.
Ooh, oh, fantastic. I heard Cliff High talk about the night goggles. This is superb. This is you've got some of the very esoteric, the mathematical, I love the idea of food as medicine. Fantastic. This is the party at the beginning of your community. This is it. It's happening.
It is.
It's not going away, is it? You know that, don't you?
No, it's not.
Yeah, people are. Some people are going to go home, but some people are going to stay.
Well, I'm not finished. There's even more. So we have Kelly Jones, who's an Akashic reader and a feng shui practitioner, and her husband, who is a beautiful man, who is working on children's books, and then Solara Anwagi, who. She's a mathematician. She's come up with sacred geometry. It's just amazing. Sam Richardson, she's from Phoenix. Kelly and Doug, they're local. Sam Richardson is a local dowser who builds labyrinths, and I've had the pleasure and honor of building a labyrinth with him. He's a beautiful man. And then Beloved Tawi, Warrior of Light. This woman is a visionary, angelic messenger. I mean, she works with water, and she's going to do a water blessing. She's amazing. Dr. Raja from Stardove has done so much to support this. Like, I'm so grateful for him, and he's been such a blessing. And then Himyu, she's a channeler, and she will be joining in the water ceremonies. So we just have an amazing, like you said, we have an amazing collective of consciousness coming in, these beautiful, beautiful people. And I've not even mentioned all the elders and all the honored people that are going to be here that don't choose to speak on stage, but are going to be here in their resonance, sharing their vibration, and holding that space of healing while we're together, you know, at this time of 9/22. there are people coming in every day. Someone new is calling me, you know, saying, oh, I want to come. Is there room? You know, I'm not going to, you know, it's like, yes, come, be with us. We're so honored. You know, just these beautiful people, you know, natives, light workers, just all kinds of people just are feeling the call and wanting to be here with us. So we're so blessed. We really are.
Superb. So it's going to be at this place in Hendersonville?
Yeah. We call it Star Knowledge Asheville because no one knows where Hendersonville is.
Yeah. Hendersonville
right
does sound like Asheville. A very smallish place, you know.
It is. I think we have 30,000 people.
All right. It's a little bigger than the town that I live in. I live in a town of 12,000.
Asheville's the big town.
Uh-huh.
So people hear Asheville and they go, oh, yeah. So.
your landmark. So that's great. And there is accommodation for people and presumably...
Well, there's camping.
Is camping?
So people can come and camp, yes. Or they can stay in the cabins. It's been really funny because the cabins are... You know, this is a kids' camp. It's a beautiful place, but it was made for kids. So the cabins have bunk beds that sleep anywhere from 5 to 16 people, and it's very cheap. I mean, we're charging $135 to have 4 nights lodging and 3 meals for 3 days.
That's cheaper than, if I figured that out, it's probably cheaper than my rent. So
exactly.
That's so reasonable. You just
share. But they don't want to share. They'd rather go pay $100 a night in a hotel. And I say, please come and be with us. You know, if you're worried about your stuff, lock it in your car, you know. But come and be with us and be in this vibration. You know, imagine the coming and the going from leaving the conference and going to a hotel and coming back every day. You're just going to be pushing and pulling. Just stay with us and just... be a kid and be 3 days in a summer camp with us.
Yeah.
You know, and be in our fields. It's okay. You know, don't worry about it.
Don't be so bloody precious.
Exactly. It really surprises me. I have more campers than I have people staying in cabins because they'd rather camp than share a cabin with a stranger.
Yeah.
Oh. It's been quite an awakening, and I'll call them back up and I'll say, I'm so glad you registered, but now can I talk you into staying with us instead of the hotel? You know, it's kind of funny, you know, and some people it works, and some people they say no. But it's funny.
Yeah, interesting.
So we'll have food, and, you know, we'll have food, and we'll have music, and, you know, bring your instruments and whatever, you know.
Of course, and your stories. Oh,
and your stories.
And I hope you've got a couple of tape recorders and video cameras.
Well, here's what we're going to do. You know, Chief Golden Light Eagle is insisting on documenting all the speakers.
Absolutely.
And I really wanted to say no cameras, but he's not going to have it. You know, this is his conference and he gets to be in charge.
I like him.
Yeah. So
he's practical and he's not precious.
Right, but he said if anybody doesn't want to be filmed, we'll turn the cameras off.
Yeah.
But what Donna is going to do,
mm-hmm.
Donna is going to set up a video diary room. And so we're going to invite everyone, everyone, to come in and leave a message.
What a brilliant idea.
And then,
I love Donna, it's so brilliant. We love Donna.
We'll edit this and create a documentary of everyone's experiences. So we're really, really, really excited about this.
Excellent.
Only as excited about the diary room as we are anything else.
Yeah, how brilliant. Well, an excellent... now, are you going to webcast it?
Well,
is there anything... Or are you going to sort of maybe post the odd sort of summary today video kind of thing?
I think it'll be more like that. I think, you know, the cost involved in you know, live streaming at a bandwidth, and I don't even know what this means, but this is what Donna says. You know, the cost of streaming at a bandwidth, you know, of that speed, it's just, you might as well buy a ticket. So we're just not set up for it where we are. You know, there's other places in the country where the bandwidth is not so expensive. But for us, it's very expensive. So we're going to do something. We've got Starseed Radio. I really believe he's going to come and broadcast the whole thing live.
An audio link would probably be less bandwidth. And
he's not in town yet. He won't be here for a couple of days, but we're really hoping to get that set up with him, and that's Starseed Radio, and we really love that he's willing to do that. He's got some satellites and some stuff that he's running through, so he can do a 24/7 gig. So, or, you know, from 7 in the morning till 11 at night. So, you know, and he, and of course he gets to interview these people. They'll be just walking by and he gets to just interview
them. That's right.
So
he gets the scoop. Excellent.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, it, you know, so it'll be really good for him. So we're really excited about that. And if he can't pull it off, you know, then we'll pull it off in some fashion.
Something will happen. Something.
Yeah, we're going to do something. We'll make sure that at least, you know, some of what is being said at the speaker arena will, you know, those really important messages are going to get shared. I can assure you.
Absolutely. The important, you know, just let me, now, having, I've been a recording artist for like many years now, and one of the things that happens, and I just want to kind of give you this so you don't, so Donna is kind of placated a bit, but sometimes if it's really, really special, the energies make the history erased.
It does.
That you can record something and the recorders fail just at that the last minute, and you lose the lot and you can't get it back.
And see, I'm going to tell you, Jeremy, that basically that's what they've told me, because what they're trying to get us to see right now, and what they're saying to me, is we've got to come together.
Yeah.
And the vibration that we create in resonance with direct experience. Direct experience is a very important thing they speak of. And, you know, direct experience shows up in a lot of ways. And you know, it shows up, you know, I don't let your opinion of someone affect my direct experience of them.
Yeah.
But also when someone's delivering a message, you know, we need direct experience with that message. And so a radio interview is better than a video. Because in that moment, we have direct experience. So I believe there may be some booger boos going on, but that's why I think the diary, and you know, I would love to give Donna credit for the diary room, but it was actually the Star Beings that suggested it.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually said, look, how about if we do this? Because those messages, because that's someone's direct experience of the event.
Yes.
This they want shared.
Yes.
So they actually put that into our hearts. They said, hey, let's do this. So that will happen. The diary room will happen. Donna will edit it and create a documentary, and we will be posting that. So that will happen for sure.
Excellent. Right. Well, we've run out of time.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sienna, dear heart. We wish you all the best from Wolf Spirit Radio, from the wolves to the deers. We are... oh, no. Where is it gone? Oh, there it is. Sorry. I've just been looking for my outro bumper, and I couldn't find it. So there we go. There it is. There we go. So just bring that up. So thank you very much once again, Sienna Dearheart. Great luck with the Astral Star Knowledge Conference. Please spread the word about it. If you can get there, it's going to be one event. One heaven of an event. God bless
you. That's right. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Beyond.